Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment, let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk to get your week started off right. You got Abe, Jason, Jeff, and Hannah in the house tonight. I'm so glad to be with you all this morning. I have a little bit of computer difficulty going on right now, but we'll get that worked out. I am grateful to be on the air, grateful that you all have tuned into the program, and I'm ready to get rolling. As we do every day, let me remind you that the first institution God ever created was the family. The very first command ever issued by Yahweh of the Hebrew Scripture was to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and to subdue it. To be perfectly clear in what I'm communicating to you, that the first command was issued to a husband and a wife concerning their family. Probably is a good indication as to how important family is to God. And because of the primacy the family has to God, it probably is a good indication as to how important family should be to us. My encouragement is, as we pursue external faithfulness, as we take advantage of this free market capitalistic system to generate incomes for our families, as we take advantage of the liberty, the religious freedom we have to become missionaries ourselves or to support missionaries the world around, let us make sure that we are not sacrificing our families on the altar of external faithfulness, but understand that we can be faithful externally while simultaneously serving our families well. In fact, we're required to do so. Remember what the Lord said through Apostle Paul: if a man doesn't care for his own family, his own household, he's worse than an infidel. All too often, we don't recognize this, that applies to economic provision. I would also include applies to us concerning our older parents. It's not other people's job. How dare I demand Jason Charles use his family's resources and we extract them and redistribute them through taxes to force him to care for my family in the form of my parents? That's wrong, Chief. That's wrong. No, it's my responsibility. It's my siblings' responsibility to care for my families as well as to care for our little ones. And in caring for our families, folks, it is not limited to material provision of resources, but also it applies to, applies to spiritual provision of resources. Psalm 127, for example. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, for example. Ephesians chapter 6, for another example. It is not God's desire for the children born into Christian families that those children have to fend for themselves spiritually, which is why I pray routinely, Lord, may my ceiling be my children's floor, and that you would empower me and empower us to be effective in serving our families well, washing our spouses with the water of the word, our wives, raising our children in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord, the paideia of the Lord. Family is God's primary institution. Because it's that important to God, it probably should be that important to us. Well, if you can't tell already, I'm fired up already. Friday, if you heard Friday's program, you heard me talking about an introduction, and it aired Saturday too, to a recalibration concerning what we understand God's provision and God's deliverance to be. We talked about in the book of Esther how much attention is given to Esther and her declaration that if I perish, I perish, and the response that King Ahasuerus gave to her and to Mordecai. But we often don't realize that deliverance came in the form of allowing the Jewish people to fight. Now I want to look at Caleb, one of my favorite characters in the scripture. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. A reminder as we venture into the Old Testament, much to Andy Stanley's chagrin. I keep saying that because he's the one that's talking about it lately. But you see some other theological institutions, Wheaton College and others, are saying some of the same things. This is insane to me. They want us to just trash the Bible that Jesus used. Ludicrous, I say. Foolishness of the highest order. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through the patience and the comfort of Scripture, we might have hope. What are those scriptures that Paul was talking to? The scripture that Paul was referring to? The Old Testament. The Hebrew Bible. The same one that Jesus used. The same one that Paul used. And so the book of Joshua is right there. It's a part of the Pentateuch. Pente meaning five. The first five books of the Bible. No, not a part of the Pentateuch. I'm wrong. Sorry about that. Comes after the Pentateuch. But Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, this is where we're going to pick up. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." You know what the man said, Joshua. I'm sorry, you know what the Lord said, Joshua. Verse 7, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said. Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old." 85 years old. Verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." This man, 85 years old, talking slick like this, talking greasy. "I'm just as brolic today as I was then, chief." Verse 12, "So now give me this hill country." The King James says, "Now give me therefore this mountain, of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Oh, man, I love the word of God. Let me get to what I want to get to. First and foremost, Caleb is given a history lesson. When he says, "Well, I wholly follow the Lord," he's not meaning to say he was the only one who followed the Lord when the spies went out to spy out the promised land. But because he's talking to Joshua, he's saying, "Joshua, you know, it was just you and me. We were the only ones who were saying that the Lord is well able to take to give us victory in this land. But because I'm talking to you, Joshua, I'm going to say I'm the only one left who is among the ranks of the non-generalship," because Joshua is the leader of the Israelites at this time. "You know how I wholly followed after the Lord when all the other spies," which is a critically important point, because if you remember, of the 12 spies, Moses selected leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 10 of the 12, you know, if you're following with your mathematics and your fractions, that's 4/5. So 80% of the leaders of the tribe of Israel say, "Oh no, we cannot take it. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. We're grasshopper. Grasshopper in our own eye, grasshopper." And Joshua said, "Man, shut your trap. We're well able to take this land." And that day, remember, Joshua, remember, Moses said, "Man, because you're so faithful, this is going to be the place where you spied. That's going to be where you're going to lay your head, Caleb." So then Caleb is holding that in his heart for 45 years. 45 years, he's rolling around the wilderness, seeing the first generation Exodus Israelites fall in the wilderness. He's seeing their children grow up. So now Caleb is an old man amongst all of these, you might even say millennials. And he happens to say, and these 45 years later, "I'm 85 years old now, and I'm just as strong today as I was then." You want to talk about a retirement plan? Listen, I'm just going to tell y'all this right now. I know this is countercultural, but congratulations. If you're a Christ follower, you're called to be countercultural. There's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. We don't retire, we refire. He's 85 years old, saying, man, let's go get this thing done. And I'm saying that so we can have a complete mind switch. Who told you you're too old to do what God has called you to do? You listening to Oprah? Who are you listening to? You listening to the world? You listening to what's the comedian from South Africa? I forgot my man's name. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Trevor Noah, that's his name. You listening to him? He's telling you you're too old? Oh, I know. You're listening to AOC. Listen, they are not God. Man, God is the arbiter of your days. God is the arbiter of your days. If he has called you to it, he can grace you through it. I'm just telling you straight up. 85 years old, I'm just as strong today as I was then. And of course, I know about the miraculous provision, the Lord keeping their sandals from falling apart, feeding them by manna and all that kind of stuff. I know that. I understand all of that. But God is still in the business of executing his will. He's still in the business of executing his will. So Caleb says, listen, I'm 85, so what? I'll run up on these people like it was yesterday. And so then, after running down a history lesson to Joshua, because he's doing this because Joshua knows the details of what Moses said, and Moses speaking on behalf of the Lord to them. And he said, Joshua, I am holding you up to be the administrator of the word and will of God. You know what God said concerning this mountain. And I know, and this is what I love this, man. I'm getting excited already. I was excited when I walked in the studio today. In verse 12, he says, so now give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there. Now, in case you don't know, the Anakim is a lineage of giants, but some of the most warlike lineage of giants. You know, you have a broad category of giants, but then you have the Anakim. You know, you have Grecian warriors, but then you have the Spartans. Oh, the Anakim are the Spartans of the giants. And Caleb says, I know they're up there. And what? I know they're up there. Give me this mountain. And by the strength of the Lord, or he says it like this, it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord has said. Then Joshua said, word. Caleb said, word. Joshua said, word. Get her done, baby. Get her done. Blesses Caleb, lets him go into the mountain. Verse 14, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord. Hear me when I say what I'm about to say next, and hear me well. You will never advance beyond your own perception of your God. If you think God is small, you will be small. If you think God is weak, you will be weak. But if you recognize the God that you serve is the one who's holding this oval-shaped earth in orbit as we speak, if you realize the God that you serve is the one who says, let there be, and so there was. That's who you serve, man. You plus God are a majority. I don't care what room you're entering in. I don't care what obstacle it may be. You plus God are a majority. And then look what happens in verse 15. Now, the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Why? The city was named after the strongest Anakim. His name was Arba. Kiriath Arba means city of Arba. You got a whole host of Anakim that's living in this mountain. But they got a bad boy up there. His name is Arba. You might think he may be a guy named Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. You might, you know, take him to be one of those folks. The place was named after this man. You want to talk about a bad boy? This is a bad boy. He came in harder than Iron Mike Tyson in his prime. Caleb said, give me this mountain. And guess what? The name of the city was changed. It used to be Kiriath Arba. Now it's Hebron. Now it's Hebron. Folks, let us have a mind change. Sometimes the Lord's grace, sometimes the Lord's deliverance, sometimes the Lord's opportunities for us come in the form of giving us the opportunity to fight. No need to stand back as a passive casualty of the culture. Turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. This call to be Christ followers is not a call for the faint of heart. It's not a call for the feeble-minded. It is called for those who are convinced that our King is who he says he is. Once we realize that, it's on like popcorn. because Kiriath Arba becomes the city of Hebron.
Mass murder is Planned Parenthood's core value. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Planned Parenthood has recently portrayed itself as a woman's health care provider. They even insisted abortions are only 3% of their services, but the facts tell a different story. Planned Parenthood performed half of the total abortions in the United States in 2017. That's 911 precious innocent lives terminated every day. Planned Parenthood's president recently proclaimed that the organization's core mission was access to abortion. She even called abortion a fundamental human right. And the American taxpayers are forced to pay for these mass murders. Last year, Planned Parenthood raked in over $563 million in government funding, or let's call it blood money. Abortion is not health care. It is the intentional act of killing a human being. This is human genocide for profit. Please pray and stay informed to make the womb a safe place once again. Visit lc.org.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, the world is our campus. The mission of WBS is to equip shepherds and theologians through transforming graduate theological education. Some seminaries are big box seminaries, manufacturing and marketing pastors. At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we handcraft shepherds and theologians for Christ's church. Wesley Biblical Seminary, life on life formation for Great Commission impact.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. 4 years ago, Hoda Mathana left the United States for Syria to support ISIS as it fought against her own country. Online, she called for people to spill American blood. Now she regrets her decision and wants to come back to America. The answer should be a flat no. She claims to be a U.S. citizen by birth, but according to a correct reading of the 14th Amendment, she's not. Her parents were citizens of another country when she was born, meaning that she, as well as her parents, to use the language of the amendment, quote, were not subject to the jurisdiction, end quote, of the United States. It's not enough just to be born here. Birthright citizenship is reserved for those who were born here as children of American citizens. Let's hope the law soon catches up to the Constitution.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. This is a big, big week in our country this week. A lot of things that are going on right now. I'll do my best to navigate them on the program to keep you apprised as to what's happening. But one of the things that's happening today, any minute now, really, this evening, the Baby Born Alive Infant Protection Act, authored by Ben Sasse in the House, Ben Sasse in the Senate. Senator Ben Sasse in the Senate. An accompanying bill is authored by Representative Steve Scalise from Louisiana. Shout out Louisiana, you heard me. Representative Ann Wagner from Missouri has co-authored the bill in the Senate. The House. Man, I keep mixing stuff up today. Ben Sasse has authored the bill in the Senate. Steve Scalise and Ann Wagner have authored the bill in the House of Representatives. The bill is very simple. It literally does what it just says. A baby that is born that survives an abortion attempt. You know, an abortion, otherwise known as murder attempt. A baby that survives an attempted murder and that is born alive, the law simply requires medical professionals to give the same aid to that child as they would give to any child that was born alive. Seems like a good, like, who is going to vote against that? Well, Democrats have already expressed that they're not going to vote for it. Some Republicans have hinted, in the Senate at least, that they're not going to vote for it. Right. I wish y'all could have saw Jeff's face just now. Like, really? Yeah, man. That's happening today. And the things that I'm talking about that are happening today, I feel like they are events that will portend what kind of country we're going to be going forward prospectively. In addition to that, that's on the legislative front, the federal legislative front. We have on the ecclesiastical front, just a big word that means church, the United Methodist Church. They are debating. Started on Saturday, had a big meeting, the general conference meeting for the Methodist denomination. I am not a Methodist, but I'm a member of the body of Christ. So I care about the Lord's church. Remember, if you're born again, you love those who are born again. It's important. They are debating, and I'm still scratching my head over this. They're debating. I'm going to frame it like this. They're debating whether or not to adhere to Scripture or not. That's what's going on. There is a big move pushed by the bishops from America to say, hey, we need to embrace the sexual deviancy political agenda and apply it into the church, where we in the church can ordain homosexual clergy, perform same-sex marriage. We want you to get rid of that pesky little phrase in the Methodist Book of Discipline that says homosexuality is incompatible with the Bible. That's what we want you to get rid of. That's what the whole beef is about. How? And you have the African Methodists saying, y'all can run that way if y'all want. Y'all will be running without us. But you need to be aware that if you do, you are running away from Scripture. I may get into that. That's really burning in my heart. Then you have the potential release this week of the Bob Mueller report, which the regressives in Congress and in the media are all preparing their various constituencies for the Mueller report to be a dud. You want to know how I know? Because they're already telling them, well, the Mueller report may not have all of this, but now we need to look to Adam Schiff's Congressional Oversight Committee to see what investigations come from there. Oh, so y'all think we're not going to notice that you're moving away from the vaunted Bob Mueller and the $30 million that the U.S. taxpayer has already invested in this Mueller report to say now Adam Schiff and the Democrat House of Representatives Committee are going to really reveal the goods on Trump? And y'all ain't slick. I told you before, this is a silent coup attempt, and they're attempting once again to morph the priority to continue this drumbeat on into 2020 to try to take down President Trump. Remember, it was collusion? Then it was obstruction? These people play too much. We also have Wednesday. I mean, this is a heavy week, a busy week, a jam-packed week. Wednesday, you have the Supreme Court of the United States that has taken up the case of the American Legion versus the American Humanist Association, where these, and I feel like the Humanist Association, they've gone a bit too far in their quest to de-Christianize America, because now they're taking on the Bladensburg Memorial, which is a World War I memorial that the mothers, Gold Star mothers of their sons who died in World War I, sought to honor the deaths of their children by having a memorial erected in the shape of a cross. Now, the humanists are saying that is an unconstitutional establishment of a national religion. And some of you may think, but can they read? Yes, they can read. They know exactly what the Constitution says. And they know what they're advocating for is not what the Constitution advocates for, but they don't care, because they've been emboldened by regressives on the bench who have allowed this insanity concerning the Establishment Clause to proliferate. And now they've gone too far, because placing all of their eggs in the federal judiciary basket, they never anticipated that President Trump would have the opportunity to nominate two Supreme Court justices in his first term so far. So I'm expecting that to be a huge victory for religious liberty and for a rebalancing of the proper understanding of the Establishment Clause. So a lot of stuff going on in the country, but I think where I want to start, and this is just it's just burning in my heart, I'm going to start with the United Methodist Church, because I have to dig into the remarks, and I'm just going to read this whole letter from Dr. Jerry P. Kula, who is the dean of the Banga School of Theology in the United Methodist University in Liberia, Africa. What's happening there, if you haven't been following this, I know many of you have been. If you don't know, the founder of the American Family Association, Reverend Don Wildman was a United Methodist minister before he launched off creating the National Federation for Decency, which has become your American Family Association. So we have some brethren that are following this very closely here in among our ranks. And it's, you know, we could complicate it and put a whole bunch of, you know, $5 million words and discuss it. But the reality is the issue that is happening, that United Methodists in America, bishops in America, are advocating for the United Methodist denomination as a whole to abandon the authority of Scripture and to embrace the LGBTQIAP+ sexual deviancy political agenda. Now, you guys may think I'm adding those letters gratuitously. I am not. And I would point your attention to the plus, because if they felt like they had comprehensively, you know, described all of the various iterations that they sought to protect, why would the plus be there? I will say this here and now, without fear of any successful contradiction, that the plus exists for the sole purposes of eventually, now I'm not predicting how long it'll take, but eventually the inclusion of MAPS, minor attracted persons, and YAPS, youth attracted persons, within the panoply of the LGBTQIAP+. I'm telling you, just watch out for it. I've shared with you already the TED Talks that are happening in Europe that are describing pederasts and pedophilic individuals as just having a different orientation, much like others. I'm telling you, just watch it. But I want you to hear the words of this African bishop, because what I believe is necessary in all of these things, well, let me go back a little bit. The Lord himself said he established his church to be the pillar and ground of truth. I've talked about the function of the church twofold, being the pillar and ground, not just pillar or ground, but pillar and ground, serving as a firm foundation and upholding its orthodoxy, as well as serving to propagate the orthodox gospel. We have the twain duties of protecting and defending the gospel and spreading it, right? The Lord himself said his church is to be salt and light, twain duties, preservation and activation or advancement. The biggest threat, in my opinion, to the propagation of the gospel that exists today and for freedom worldwide is the sexual deviancy political agenda. Why do I say that? Because you can't, say it this way. There are two trains on one set of tracks heading in opposite directions on a collision course. It is a zero-sum game in this regard. You cannot advance the radical sexuality political agenda without encroaching upon religious freedom. You can't do it. You can't do it. So the United Methodists literally are considering abandoning the orthodoxy of Scripture. And to get just to rewind the tape a little bit, there was a general conference in 2016 among the United Methodists where they were going to consider this issue, and the votes among the denomination were in favor of the traditionalist sect of the United Methodists, which meant that they would reject the embrace of the LGBTQ agenda in the church. So because they were going to lose, the activists within the United Methodist denomination tabled the vote and said, well, let's reconvene in 2019. That's how we got to where we are now, where the United Methodists are gathered this weekend in St. Louis, Missouri, for this general conference. I want to read to you the words of Dr. Kula, because his words are a stern rebuke as well as a clarion example of what is going to be required of the believer in the 21st century and going forward. We have got to settle the matter right now as to who has our allegiance. I said before, we cannot be truth tellers and Christ followers and man pleasers at the same time. It's not a license to be intentionally harmful to people or offensive to people or obtuse toward people, but we nevertheless have to love the Lord so much that we refuse to go along with a lie. Enter Dr. Kula. Remember, from the United Methodist University in Liberia. He's a theologian and a delegate to the General Conference of the United Methodists. And this is how he starts his remarks. I'm reading what he spoke verbally Saturday morning. Brothers and sisters of the United Methodist Church from all around the world, I humbly greet you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. We thank God for all who have participated in observing a sacred season of fasting and prayer as we have prepared for this special general conference session. And we praise God There are thousands upon thousands still on bended knees interceding on our behalf as we make a defining decision regarding the future of the United Methodist Church. I thank God for his precious word to us, and I thank him for you, my dear sisters and brothers in Christ. As the general coordinator of UMC Africa Initiative, I greet you on behalf of all its members and leaders. We want to thank the Renewal and Reform Coalition within United Methodist Church for the invitation to address you at this important breakfast meeting. As I understand it, the plans before us seek to find a lasting solution to the long debate over our church's sexual ethics, its teachings on marriage, and its ordination standards. Can I pause for a second? How are we going to debate the Lord's standards for sexual ethics? Let me keep going because I want to try to get all of this in. This debate and the numerous acts of defiance have brought the United Methodist Church to a crossroads. And he cites Jeremiah 6, verse 16. One plan invites the people called United Methodists to take a road in opposition to the Bible and 2,000 years of Christian teachings. Going down that road would divide the church. I'm going to add commentary as I read through. I love the fact that Dr. Kula began with the word of God. What is our standard? What is our bedrock? What is our objective standard for truth and practice? It's not your opinion, brother. It's not your opinion, ma'am. It is the word of God. It's not how you feel about the word of God. It is the word of God. Let me go on. Those advocating for the one church plan would have us take that road. The one church plan is the plan basically where you reject scripture. Just keep it real. That's what it is. And you embrace the LGBTQ political agenda as applied to the church. That's the one church plan. Another road, back to his letter, another road invites us to reaffirm Christian teachings rooted in scripture and the church's rich traditions. It says all persons are individuals of sacred worth, created in the image of God, that all persons need the ministry of the church, and that we affirm that God's grace is available to all. It grounds our sexual ethics in scripture when it says the United Methodist Church does not condone the practice of homosexuality and considers it incompatible with Christian teaching. While we commit ourselves to be in ministry for and with all persons, we do not celebrate same-sex marriages or ordain for ministry people who self-avow as practicing homosexuals. These practices do not conform to the authentic teaching of the Holy Scriptures, our primary authority for faith and Christian living. Folks, you cannot reject the word of God without rejecting God. It's not possible. If you reject the word of God, you are rejecting God and entering into another gospel territory. And the reason why I feel like so compelled to share this is that Dr. Kula is doing this in front of the people he's opposing. See, in this keyboard era where we have these keyboard warriors and people are all very, very bold on social media, but like mice in person, this is the opposite. Dr. Kula is saying, listen, I know I'm talking to y'all in this row. I'm sitting right here staring me in my face. That to embrace your plan for our church, it would require us to abandon scripture and to reject God Almighty. Let me keep going. Friends, please hear me. We Africans are not afraid of our sisters and brothers who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, questioning, or queer. We love them and we hope the best for them, but we know of no compelling arguments for forsaking our church's understanding of scripture and the teachings of the church universal. Boy, I praise God for this brother. He's taking head on the propaganda. It's not factual. It's propaganda that people who stand on the Lord's word are afraid of anyone. Nobody is homophobic. Nobody is transphobic. Nobody is afraid of anything, but we have not heard compelling arguments to get us to abandon the teachings of scripture. Oh, if the pulpits in America can have such boldness to where we don't have these mealy-mouthed preachers who try to treat homosexuality as if it's anything different. Have you ever heard a preacher say someone was adulterer-phobic, fornicator-phobic? theft-a-phobic? No, because we're treating this with kid gloves out of men-pleasing sentiment.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed Himself in nature and His Word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Beyond any reasonable doubt, this is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Challenges are often levied against the Christian faith with regard to the existence of God, reliability of Scripture, evil and death, and more. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." God's test for us is faith, whether we will believe Him at His word. But with all the evidence He provides, it's a short step of faith rather than a blind leap. Hear an interview with cold case homicide detective and Christian apologist J. Warner Wallace at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, we'll discuss Jesus being the only way of salvation.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Spike Lee does the wrong thing. That story next. If the Academy Awards had an Oscar for most prolific use of profanity, Spike Lee would have a closet full of gold statues. Racist filth spews out of that guy's mouth like a broken sewer line in a third world country. But Sunday night, America discovered something else about Spike Lee. He's a sore loser. Variety magazine reports Mr. Lee tried to storm out of the theater after Green Book won the Oscar for Best Picture. The so-called white savior film beat out Black Klansman, and that enraged the famed director. Even though Black Klansman had already won an Oscar, Spike Lee used his victory speech to attack President Trump, remarks the president called racist. I cannot say beyond a shadow of a doubt that Spike Lee is a racist. Only the good Lord knows that. But we do have irrefutable proof that Spike Lee is a sore loser. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome to the Hamilton Quarter here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you'd like to join the program, the only thing I've gotten to so far is the scripture in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 15, where Caleb said, "I'm as strong as I was when I was 40, now that I'm 85 years old, and give me this mountain." And we're talking about right now the current fracturing that's presented to the United Methodist Church, their denomination, concerning the issue of human sexuality and identity. And I'm in the middle of reading Dr. Jerry Kula's remarks that he offered at the United Methodist General Conference meeting in St. Louis, Missouri on Saturday. So I have some more to go there, but if you'd like to be a part of the program, you are welcome to call. The number to do so is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. So I'm going to read that last paragraph a bit before and keep moving because it's connected to the next two paragraphs. Dr. Kula said, "Friends, please hear me. We Africans are not afraid of our sisters and brothers who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, or queer. We love them and hope the best for them, but we know of no compelling arguments for forsaking our church's understanding of Scripture and the teachings of the Church Universal. And then please hear me when I say as graciously as I can," you know something's come behind that, right? "As graciously as I can, we Africans are not children in need of Western enlightenment when it comes to the church's sexual ethics. We do not need to hear a progressive U.S. bishop lecture us about our need to grow up. Let me assure you, we Africans, whether we have liked it or not, have had to engage in this debate for many years now. We stand with the global church, not a culturally liberal church elite in the U.S. We stand with our Filipino friends. We stand with our sisters and brothers in Europe and Russia. And yes, we stand with our allies in America. You know what he's saying? Don't colonize my theology based on your desire to reject scripture. The audacity and the unmitigated hubris to think because you are American, you therefore have a better view of God's word. Do we need to run back the history of the Christian church? Its genesis, as recorded in Acts, beginning with the day of Pentecost? This is ridiculous. And the fact that Dr. Kula said this, it gives a clear indication that you have had bishops in the Methodist church talking down to the African bishops saying, y'all need to grow up. I said, no need to grow up. You all need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We don't need y'all talking down to us. I praise God that I live in the United States of America, but can I tell you something? America doesn't have a corner of the market of truth. This is ridiculous. And I can tell you, I'm going to get to some other comments that he made in these remarks that give you an indication why this was communicated in this way. Let me keep going. We stand with farmers in Zambia, tech workers in Nairobi, Sunday school workers in Nigeria, biblical scholars in Liberia, pastors in the Congo, United Methodist women in Cote d'Ivoire, and thousands of other United Methodists all across Africa who have heard no compelling reasons for changing our sexual ethics, our teachings on marriage, and our ordination standards. He continues, we are grounded in God's word and the gracious and clear teachings of our church. On that, we will not yield. We will not take a road that leads us from the truth. Did you hear that? We will not take a road that leads us from the truth. Brothers and sisters, we have got to get to a place where we understand. It doesn't matter what propaganda they offer. They can call you bigoted, hateful, phobic, whatever they want to call you. You know the truth. I will not allow your loaded words to cause me to stray from the truth. We will take the road, back to the letter. Back to his remarks. We will take the road that leads to the making of disciples of Jesus Christ for transformation of the world. I hope and pray for your sake that you will walk down that road with us. We would warmly welcome you as our traveling companions. But if you choose another road, we Africans cannot go with you. Now, if the church splits, y'all get to decide. Because if you choose DA from truth, we ain't rolling with y'all. He's just telling straight up. And he said, I hope and pray for your sake that you will go down that road with us. Man, this is powerful. Back to his remarks. The vast majority of we Africans support the modified traditional plan for two very important reasons. First, we believe it is clearly rooted in scripture and the teachings of Christians in all times and in all places. It reaffirms our church's belief that marriage is defined as a sacred relationship between one man and one woman, not between any two consenting adults. Second, the passage of the modified traditional plan will keep far more United Methodists united as one church than any of the other plans. You know what he's saying there. He's saying that it is a minority of people that are pushing for this liberalization of our church doctrine and practice. The most of the Methodists want to stand fast on God's word. Let me keep going. There's so much that I want to get to. Some Africans have been told that if a gracious exit petition is passed, our evangelical friends in the U.S. will go their own way and no longer support efforts in Africa. That is not true. Many of us in Africa have developed deep and long-lasting friendships with our brothers and sisters in the U.S. Those relationships will not be severed if a gracious exit petition passes. Now, let me tell you why Dr. Kula is saying this. Because some among the advocate, or should I say the activist contingent of those within the Methodist denomination who are advocating for the abandonment of Scripture, they're saying, if y'all don't embrace this, African Methodists, y'all ain't gonna get no more money from us. Trying to bribe them. If you want money, if you want our American dollars to support your efforts in Africa, you're going to go along with this plan. Look what Dr. Kula says in response. Unfortunately, some United Methodists in the U.S. have the very faulty assumption that all Africans are concerned about is U.S. financial support. Well, I am sure, being sinners like all of you, some Africans are fixated on money. But with all due respect, y'all know what something else is coming, that graciously as I can, with all due respect, a bomb is about to be dropped. But with all due respect, a fixation on money seems more of an American problem than an African one. We get by on far less than most Americans do. We know how to do it. I'm not sure you do. So if anyone is so naive or condescending as to think we would sell our birthright in Jesus Christ for American dollars, they simply do not know us. They simply do not know us. We are seriously joyful in following Jesus Christ and God's holy word to us in the Bible. And in truth, we think many people in the U.S. and in parts of Europe can learn a great deal from us. The United Methodist churches, pastors, and lay people who partner with us acknowledge as much. Please understand me when I say the vast majority of African United Methodists will never, ever trade Jesus and the truth of the Bible for money. You hear what this man is saying? He's telling them to their faces. You think you're going to run something with your little dollar bills? Man, Christ is far more precious to me than rubies, than gold, than money. And again, I'm reading this because this is the type of commitment that all of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ must have. I'm getting to the end of the remarks I'm going to read. I'm going to post this entire letter because I'm running out of time here. But he said this. We will walk alone if necessary, and yet we are confident the ties of Christian fellowship we have with friends here in the U.S. will not be severed, even if they too must walk apart from a church that would adopt the one church plan. Friends, not too long ago, my country was ravaged by a terrible civil war, and then we faced the outbreak of the Ebola virus. We are keenly familiar with hardship and sorrow, but Jesus has led us through every trial. So nothing that happens over the next few days will deter us from following him and him alone. We will persevere in the race before us. We will remain steadfast and faithful. And someday we will wear the victor's crown of glory with our King Jesus. Come walk with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I put this right up there with Pastor Wang Yi in China. And I'm encouraging you to hear what I'm saying, not merely audibly, but hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The Lord is dispatching brethren from all around the world to encourage the bride, to hold the line, to not fold in the face of the darkness that at best seems robust. But all that's necessary is for the light to be turned on. Oh, I pray that everybody who heard this is encouraged, is stirred to understand what we have is not just some effort to make a come up in this temporal world. We are clinging to the cross of eternity. This brother said, we're not selling our birthright in Jesus Christ for a few dollars. I'm not going to sell my birthright to get my name on some billboard charts. I'm not going to sell my birthright so I can be on some news program. Somebody can know my name on a Hollywood Walk of Fame. Man, I'm trying to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, may the body of Christ in our country be stirred by our brethren from around the world, and most importantly, stirred by your word to hold fast to the truth. In Jesus' name. To the phone lines we go. First, we'll go to Arkansas, where Tom is on the line. Tom, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Sir, thank you very much for having me, and I just want to tell you, you are on your A-game today. This has been a marvelous program, and the scripture, the way you delivered that, but this message from the Methodist minister there. He's right on target. It's like a letter from Paul to the Corinthians. It's very powerful, and I just want to thank you for what you're doing and telling you I've never heard this message delivered so powerfully as I did today.
Amen. Tom, thank you very much for your call and your comments. And I have to tell you, man, this is from Dr. Kula. I'm just reading to you what he said. And imagine the courage it took. But when you understand the scripture, you realize that shouldn't be surprising to us. One of the evidences of the Spirit of God in our lives is we become bold. The Lord will take ignorant and unlearned men who were locked in a room for fear of the Jews, who were going to do to them what they just witnessed happened to Jesus on the cross, but then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And these same men who were previously cowering end up in the middle of the same city where they were hiding out, preaching the truth of the resurrected king. He turns Gideons into generals. He takes the simple and confounds the wise, man. This is not, can I just say this? Christianity is not just one religion among the religions. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. This is verifiable, historically supportable. And this is the truth, man. This is the truth. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Ohio, where Mark is on the line. And again, if you want to join the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. And let me say one more thing before Mark comes on. From what I understand, in the meeting room, the tide of the General Conference meeting was leaning toward the one church plan, the plan where they, the apostasy plan, I'm going to call it. The apostasy plan until Dr. Kula spoke. And then after he spoke, it turned the tide of the meeting. It turned the tide of the meeting. I don't know what the results are, the conclusion just yet, but I praise God for faithful witnesses like this. Because again, the call for the Christ follower is not to rack up wins. It's the faithfulness. The call for us is faithfulness. Brother Don said that all the time. Our call is not necessarily to win everything. The call is to faithfulness. In being faithful, we win. To the phone lines. Mark from Ohio, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead, sir.
Mr. Hamilton, thank you for glorifying God in all that you do and not being afraid. We give thanks to the Lord above, to Jesus, for what you do. Oh, to hear Americans in the pulpit speak like Dr. Kula in Africa.
Oh.
To hear such men in our country would be a blessing. It would truly be a blessing. I know we have good people here, but we need to hear it in America. They need to throw it down like Dr. Kula. And to think of the smugness in the Western part of the world in Christianity or alleged Christianity to get stuffed by Dr. Kula, I think is awesome. I'd love to hear more about him. And real quick, sir, back to the LGBTQ issue, when you were talking about pedophilia, trying to become part of that, my thing is, how could it not be? It appears to be the next step. I'd love to hear more opinion from you, Lord. Father, bless Mr. Hamilton. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, you know, it's only news to people who haven't followed this thing. If you go all the way back to where you had Harvey Milk serving as the mayor in the West Coast, some of the early, you know, so-called pride festivals, what a name, right, included people that were part of organizations like NAMBLA. What is NAMBLA? The National Association of Man Boy Love. That's an organization. They were a part of it. And I can tell you for a fact, from my years of criminal prosecution, when you have people that are convicted for crimes like that, they're taught in their so-called rehabilitation that they just have an orientation and urges that need to be suppressed. They're not invited to be transformed. So many of them are sitting there biding their time saying that just as same-sex marriage has had its day, our day is coming. We are next up on the agenda. And if you don't believe us, what did they say when we warned about the slippery slope concerning transgenderism? Well, we're here.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.